Silly Beagle Productions presents. Silly Beagle Productions presents Physics in Action, a podcast which shows physics in our everyday world, reaching beyond the scope of the standard textbook.
Each episode brings you applications and analysis of physics in such diverse settings as sports, movies, video games, and television.
We also take a look into the frontiers of physics exploration.
And don't forget interviews with exciting personalities on the leading edge of physics, innovation, and application.
So join us for our trip into the fantastic world of physics. And don't forget, you can always check out our website at physicsinaction.com.
Hello, and welcome to Physics in Action. I'm your host today, Justin, and today I have a topic for you which happens to suck. Namely, I'll be talking about black holes. So, the basic idea of a black hole is that it's a point of mass with so much gravity, whereas gravity is so strong that even light can't escape from it. It was first come up with in 1783 by a guy called John Mitchell, who was doing some math with the escape velocities you need to escape from gravity while, like, on Earth. And he thought, hey, if I multiplied the mass of the sun by about 500, the escape velocity would be faster than the speed of light, which would mean that it would be impossible for light to escape from the gravity, which would cause interesting things, no doubt. Then they decided light was a wave, and that therefore it ignored gravity for a while until the early 1900s, when Einstein came up with general relativity and the wave-particle duality, and general relativity made things more interesting because it has gravity actually warping the way space curves, essentially. Like, directions change when you apply gravity to them. Shortly afterwards, in 1915, a guy called Schwarzschild did some math with Einstein's field equations and proved that if you put enough mass into some place, then the gravity would create an event horizon where if light entered closer than the event horizon, then it would be utterly unable to escape again, and that's the basis of a black hole. Of course, they weren't sure how you could get enough mass to fit in there until the late 1930s when Chandrasekhar and Oppenheimer are studying stellar collapse and figure out that with a star about three times the mass of the Earth, that as the star runs out of fusion energy, its gravity causes it to collapse on itself, and a supernova happens, and then the remaining mass gets pulled in so hard and so fast by gravity that it gets crushed into progressively smaller space and eventually forms a black hole. Later in 1963, another scientist, also Finkelstein, proved that black holes can rotate too, which has some interesting implications when you're dealing with special relativity. Basically, a black hole has three pieces. It's got what's called the event horizon, which is the black zone that people traditionally think of as the edge of the black hole. That's the point at which you go past and you can't possibly escape. At its center, it has a singularity, which is the infinitely small point where all the mass of the black hole is actually concentrated. And usually around a black hole, there also forms an accretion disk, which is an effect of the conservation of angular momentum as various pieces of mass spiral in towards the center of the black hole. Black holes also only have three properties when they're at equilibrium, essentially. A black hole is considered to have mass, which is equal to the mass crushed into the center of the black hole and causes the gravity. A black hole can also have angular momentum, meaning that a black hole can spin in place, which changes the shape of the black hole and the shape of, or the way things move around the black hole. And a black hole can also have an electrical charge because it conserves the electrical charge of protons and electrons that fall into it. So if you, say, throw a bunch of hydrogen nuclei, just protons, at a black hole, it'll eventually become positively charged and can theoretically, say, repel another positively charged black hole or repel protons that are trying to being pulled in by gravity. So the event horizon, it's kind of cute. It's the black zone around it, around the black hole. Schwarzschild, when he was using the field equations, found that a number of pieces from the traditional coordinate system actually appear to go to infinity at the edge of a black hole. Namely, time stretches infinitely, which means to an outside observer from the black hole, an object falling into the black hole actually appears to slow down infinitely as it approaches the event horizon. You never actually see it enter the event horizon, but the changing of time causes a redshift that eventually becomes so strong that it just turns black, and because the frequency drops out of visible range. The edge of the event horizon is kind of similar. It's actually the image of the star right as it collapsed and the event horizon formed, frozen in time because time is infinite at the edge of the event horizon. Of course, it's also black because it's redshifted to infinity and beyond. Inside the event horizon, it's first important to note that in general relativity, which is what they're constructing the theories for black holes in, the directions of and space actually are changed by the strength of gravity. Inside an event horizon, gravity becomes so strong that literally all directions in space point towards the center of the black hole, which is why it's impossible to escape. And the event horizon also apparently has friction, which is what allows it to reduce from having all this matter bouncing into the black hole, entering the black hole, to just having being considered to have the three properties of mass, angular momentum, and charge. So at the center of the black hole, things get even more interesting with what's called a gravitational singularity. The singularities at the edges of the black hole, where time becomes infinite, can actually be solved out just by switching to a different system of coordinates, essentially viewing it from the reference of something falling into the black hole rather than an outside observer. But at the center of the singularity, gravity becomes so powerful that it actually crushes all the matter at the singularity into an infinitely small, infinitely dense point, which has no volume at all because it's just a point in space. Because of that, and because gravity varies inversely with distance, gravity is also infinite at the point of the singularity. And even according to classical mechanics, according to general relativity, according to special relativity, according to everything we can come up with. So one of the frontiers in science is trying to develop a quantum gravity for gravity on the miniature scale that the singularity actually is occurring at, and we're hoping that eventually we'll be able to find an effect that prevents gravity from becoming infinite because it really shouldn't be doing that, and it doesn't make sense and tends to break physics. And also, despite what you may have learned from watching Star Trek or The X-Files, a black hole in the singularity is not a wormhole and will not send you 100 years back in time so that you can destroy the Vulcan homeworld as part of a complicated revenge plot because of something that happens another 150 years in the future. Going into a singularity, probably we think everything just is destroyed and crushed by the gravity and just stays in the singularity until the end of the universe or it gets evaporated out. It's possible, we've never seen a singularity before, that other things can happen. There's one theory that a pocket universe is on the other side of the singularity where all the infalling matter goes, so it's not actually destroyed. Continuing from something I just mentioned, from radiation, black holes are not actually totally black. Stephen Hawking, everyone's favorite physicist and astrophysicist, was working on black holes and was confused because infalling matter appears to violate the second law of thermodynamics, that of entropy. This, especially when if a black hole was to run into another black hole and they were combined, then it would allegedly turn into a state with less entropy than it started at, which is impossible according to the second law of thermodynamics. So he was doing some stuff with field theory and he discovered Hawking radiation, which is basically just heat, thermal radiation on every wavelength that a black hole releases. Particles are inside the event horizon through a quantum tunneling effect and some complicated quantum physics things. It throws a particle right up just outside of the event horizon, which flies off. Hawking radiation is one of the ways we're expecting to be able to find black holes in the future, because it's one of the only known things in the universe that will radiate on every single frequency in the spectrum, because basically nothing's stopping it. The problem with Hawking radiation is that it's a very low amplitude, very low strength compared to everything else. Even the cosmic microwave background radiation is two orders of magnitude higher. But we'll find it eventually. Another thing about Hawking radiation is that since it's being generated from inside the black hole, the black hole actually loses mass when it radiates via Hawking radiation to create the thermal energy. So and Hawking radiation, he also discovered, decreases as the black hole becomes more massive. So tiny black holes actually radiate more than a giant black hole would. So this creates a point where there's a minimum mass for black holes to form, which is because anything below that would radiate faster than it would absorb mass. This is, for instance, why even if the LHC does create a tiny black hole, it won't do anything because they'll evaporate in milliseconds and will not, in fact, destroy the world. Black holes also break quantum mechanics because they create an information paradox. The information, quantum information essentially, stored in the subatomic particles falling into the black hole is destroyed by the singularity and doesn't come out. However, quantum mechanics depends on information being conserved, that the particles will always be there. For a principle called unitarity, either quantum mechanics, the principle is wrong, which would basically wreck all of quantum mechanics, or black holes do have to save information in some way, but no one's been able to come up with a reasonable explanation for this. Hawking theorized that part of it's entangled in Hawking radiation, but people aren't sure whether that's a good enough explanation or not. Black holes appear and do some very interesting things. Black holes can also spin, which makes things amusing because it actually warps the shape of the event horizon and the singularity. The singularity gets spun out into a disk, still with infinite thinness, so it has no volume, and the event horizon itself becomes ovoid. A rotating black hole has what's called an ergosphere on the outside as it spins. According to special relativity, a spinning object actually pulls a bit of space-time with it when it spins, so it's literally stuff close enough to the event horizon is getting pulled around through space by the black hole, even if there's nothing else happening to it. And close to the black hole, it becomes impossible to stay still, and the only way to go is to spiral into the black hole. They do slow down eventually, though. There's an effect called the Penrose effect, where this same effect that spins things, called frame dragging, also reduces the angular momentum of the black hole by the amount it adds to the infalling matter. So eventually that slows down and stops the black hole. But it's fun while it lasts. Black holes are also kind of important in terms of space. There are giant black holes at the center of each galaxy, which are what holds them together. If a black hole didn't exist, then the galaxy would get flung out every which way. I mean, thinking about it, like this, there's the star at the center of our solar system, the Sun, but that only has enough gravity to hold on to the planets in the solar system. In the center of the galaxy, you have to have something with enough gravitational pull that it holds an entire 3 trillion light year spanning disk in with gravity. So to hold it in as a galaxy rather than having it break apart. And so you get eventually these supermassive black holes with a couple billion times the weight of our sun at the center of the galaxy holding the universe together. Black holes also have a fun effect as a lens, actually. Since general relativity, gravity bends space, then it literally can bend light around it. So you can get these really cool distorted images by shining light around the edges of a black hole because it acts as a giant lens. If you search like gravitational lensing on the internet, there are some pretty good examples of that. There's also an interesting, relatively new theory as of the 1990s of the naked singularity idea, where a star, if it has the wrong properties when it's falling in, it won't create the event horizon, prevents all light from escaping. And an event horizon may in fact never form around it, which creates what we call a naked singularity, naked because it's naked to the eyes, though I suppose it would be hard for an infinitely dense, crushing point of space to wear clothes in any circumstance. Naked singularity is also important to, say, practitioners of quantum mechanics, because you can observe, or they thinking they can observe quantum gravity effects near a singularity that you otherwise can't, because the singularity in a black hole is hidden behind this event horizon and no light will ever go from the singularity to outside of the black hole. So, in retrospect, black holes really suck. They create important gravity to the situation, in galaxies, holding them together. And I think they're vitally important to the way astrophysics works, to holding the universe together, and to allowing people to make terrible sci-fi movies that are scientifically inaccurate, but can use black holes to include time travel, or wormholes, or anything else they can possibly think of.
Special thanks to For Me to See and Jeff Myers for the intro music tech. Music is brought to you courtesy of Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com.